thank you guys for coming. Good morning. I'd like to introduce to you my wife. So this is Julie, and I know she met some of you guys individually earlier. So Julie is honestly just the greatest joy. We've known each other since we were 10 years old. And my favorite thing in the world, not just about her, but in the world, is her laugh. And I think it just comes from such a joyful place, and I hope you guys are able to hear it. So.
And yes, so that's my husband, Ruben. He's the principal of our home school, and we've been married for 15 years, and he's just honestly my greatest earthly treasure. So I'm excited that y'all are here, and hopefully we will share something that is new to y'all about homeschooling.
Yeah, so you'll observe there's some cubes on your table. Use the cubes, because these are 6 building blocks of successful homeschooling. And you can write on the cube, it's tangible. You can write whatever you want on your notes. You have notes in front of you as well. So use them and have some fun with it, okay? Obviously, we're pretty open, so we want your questions at any point as well. So the first thing we will share with you is a scripture. And as we talk about building blocks to successful homeschooling, we've got 6 things that are important to us. The first one really is prayer. And to be honest with you, as we went down this road with homeschool, I probably didn't start here. To be totally honest with you, right? But prayer. So I'll share this scripture with you, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And what that tells me, maybe it speaks to you differently, what it tells me is I've got a plan. Be obedient. Listen to my plan. You have a small role in it. Be obedient.
And as homeschooling, LaToya and I talked, and Christy, you homeschool as well.
Yes.
Yeah. There are days that are just hard, you know. But in that, we have to remember, too, that whether our kids went to public school or private school or whatever, those days are hard, too. So I always try to remember that a book I read, Mere Motherhood, called, they said that, I pray that as a mother, I point my children to Jesus by my own running toward him. Instead of frantically dragging them to where I believe they need to be. So if my kids will just seek the Lord, all those other things will work themselves out. What they make on a test, where they're going to go to college, you know, somebody will ask, are they going to prom? All of those things will work themselves out as long as they just pursue the Lord. And I want to be an example for them by doing that.
That's awesome. So start with prayer is step one, right? That's your foundation. Second thing we have is to identify your purpose. So the question I have, and it's rhetorical, but what is your unique purpose for homeschooling? And if you don't have one, I urge you to just brew on that and pray on it and think about it. For some people, you're just unsettled with public school, which we were. For some people, you may not want the bubble of private school or all the baggage that comes with that, certainly the cost associated with it. For us, we wanted an environment that our kids, no matter what subject, could lean on the Lord and we could pray, and faith was part of the foundation to it.
So we started homeschooling. Our oldest boy is 13. So when it came time for him to go to school, we did the, oh, let's go look at the schools. And then all the schools we visited, I just felt unsettled. And I said to Ruben, I can't imagine leaving him there 8 hours a day and allowing him to be influenced by all these other things. I don't feel like this is where the Lord is calling us to leave him. And I said, well, I think the Lord's calling us to homeschool. And I said that to Ruben one day. And he was like, no, he's not calling us to homeschool. And I was like, well, I really feel like he's calling us to homeschool. Maybe, can you just pray about it? That's all I'm asking. Just pray, you know? And so a couple weeks went by and I was praying like, Lord, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? I don't know what I'm doing. You're going to have to equip me and get Ruben on board. And so he put those people in my life. Other people who have homeschool, who walk before me. Same with the same season I'm in now of like, Lord, if I'm going to graduate my kids, put those people who can show me how to get a diploma together and things like that. And so a couple weeks later, after Ruben had been praying, he came and said, I think you're right. The Lord is calling us to homeschool. So this is our oldest boy's in 7th grade, so we've been doing it for 8 years with them.
So I think it's safe to say sometimes the Lord speaks to us through our spouses, right? And more than anything, I'm so pleased to be wrong in that situation. And I mean, speaking as a male, at least a male with perception or stereotype, in my mind, I was thinking, oh, we're going to start, you know, sewing our own clothes at home as well? Are we going to, you know? And you start having these thoughts and perceptions, right? But rather than getting hung up on those, I try to grind myself to what is our purpose? What, and in a hard day, you're going to need accountability, whether it's your spouse, best friend, others at home school, but you're going to need accountability because there are tough days where tears are happening. I'm not talking about the kids. I'm talking about from the parents, right? Yeah. There are those tough days. So you need to identify what that is. And I just encourage you, write down a list of why you're led to homeschool and share it with someone. Share it with someone important. Agree with your spouse, with your whoever, accountability partner. And on a tough day, pull out that list and pray over it so that you're grounded to what the Lord's actually led you to, not the emotion in the moment. The last thing I'll share on kind of identifying your purpose is Julie named our school Mustard Seed Academy. And I think it speaks volumes for what she believes and what we believe together we're doing. We're just planting these little tiny mustard seeds into their hearts. And for us, the Lord will take care of the rest. Right? We're just praying that the ground is fertile, it's well received, and she's planting, and that the Lord will harvest one day.
Yeah, and at times, you know, I feel like I'm failing. But I have to remember that whether my kids were at a private school or a public school or a charter school, whatever, that teacher is going to fail them as well. So I have to give that to the Lord. And so with that, on the paper that's at your table, on the back there is a list of books that have been helpful to me through this journey, and one is Educating the Wholehearted Child, a handy book about the Christian homeschool education. It's encouraging as a homeschool mom. It's great with ideas, and it's a fantastic book if you just get your hands on it.
Okay, so building block number 3, and this is something that honestly we just didn't know at first. And that is to know your state laws. So neither one of us love, you know, dealing in this subject, but the 3 takeaways you can find is our state in Texas requires the instruction be bona fide or not a sham. So what's that mean? Well, that means there's actually content to what you're teaching. Okay, so that's easy, right? Easier said than done. But second one is curriculum must be in a visual form. So that means whether it's internet, DVDs, books, audiobooks, or textbooks, there's got to be a visual form of curriculum. Third is curriculum must include reading, spelling, grammar, math, and good citizenship. Good citizenship was a little bit of a surprise to us, but that's very much a Texas state law. They believe good citizenship to be important enough that it's one of the top 5 things they require. Our reference for this is the Texas Homeschool Coalition website, and Julie can probably speak more to it.
Yeah, so we belong to the Texas Homeschool Coalition. It's $10 a month, and they provide great resources. If I have any questions about how do I get that high schooler to the next step, they're great. You know, there's been times that homeschool kids have had hard time getting into colleges because of being homeschooled. They help with that. If there's any legal action that needs to be taken, they're helpful with that. And they, through that, they provide discounts for homeschool families. So over on that table, I put a magazine from the Texas Homeschool Coalition that feel free to pick up. They're a great resource to have. And with that being said, I keep my kids' schoolwork. So at the end of the year, all the pile and stuff, we just hole punch it and put it in a 3-ring binder and mark like third grade on it. And I keep that just in case someone was to say, well, what do you teach your kids? What do you have? And I say, this is what they've done in their second grade year or third grade, just in case I was to ever be audited. So, but as far as Texas, it's a pretty green state in the sense of we don't have to turn in test scores. We don't have to turn in certain hours or anything like that to anybody. So it's a real blessing.
I think you bring up a good point, Julie. While we don't have to do testing, formalized testing, Julie has felt compelled a couple of times to do some formalized testing.
Like the Stanford standardized test.
Absolutely. But I would say for me, it's less about the score. To be honest with you, every time she's done it, it has not been a surprise to her. She is in tune with where her kids are, right? Right.
What areas they need help in, what their strengths are.
Yeah. I think the biggest benefit to that standardized testing is so that our boys know what it's like to take a test, to get the number two pencil and fill out a Scantron. That is a skill as well. And the photo you guys are looking at is our oldest 13-year-old when he started sixth grade. So I guess I'll just share one thing about that, and that is we want him to have photos from the first day of school, right? And I've got photos, and Julie has photos from our first day of school when we were kids and being dropped off at public school. But that's part of our culture is, guess what? That's our dog. It's a sixth grade, first day of school, and he is ready to go, right? So it's a pretty fun way tradition.
Fun, right?
Yeah.
Community. So I need community, Ruben needs community. As a family, we need community. Our kids need community. They don't want to be isolated and think, I'm the only homeschool child around. What is that? So some of the community we have is we have homeschool tennis lessons. And if you're interested in any of this information, I'm more than happy to give it to you. There is homeschool PE for children at Game On Arena. We also attend Science Etc. It's right here on Camp Bowie. It's you pay for all different kinds of classes. So things that I'm not good teaching at, writing, drawing, I send them there for that. I have heard that Christ Chapel has a big Facebook group of homeschool kids. I'm not on social media, so I don't know, but I've heard it's fantastic, and they do get together and meet at parks and things like that. There's also swim lessons for homeschool kids, and some of those resources I have stuck over there on the table. So we are blessed to live in a city where there is tons of opportunity to get together and hang out and let the kids just play and get to know each other.
So with that, I guess two things. The number one question I'm asked is when I'm speaking about homeschooling to a non-homeschooler, it's probably on your mind, I bet you've already been asked this, is, well, are your kids social? That's the number one question. I can look you in the eyes and confidently say that they are far and ahead more social than I am, because they spend every day with Julie and I, and things like looking you in the eyes, shaking your hand confidently, speaking publicly, all those things are important to Julie and I. So if you are confident, you can sculpt that as well, right? But I bet you've been asked that question. Second thing I get asked a lot by dads kind of one-off is, well, what happens? Does dad just let mom drive it? Well, potentially. The truth is, Julie drives a lot of that core teaching day in and day out. Although, I'm proud to say I do have a small role in it. She'll call me the principal. Truth is, between us girls, she's probably more of a disciplinarian than I am. I'm kind of the fun guy when it comes to school. But there have been times that I've subbed. When she was sick and didn't feel well and had a couple of days that we needed to keep the ball rolling, I subbed. Now, as a dad, that may scare you a little bit. Julie is very organized with the day and the flow of the day. And by that time, the kids know what to expect. They led me, even though they didn't realize it. We probably snuggled in bed more and read more than did math stuff, but it was fun. As a dad, I got to walk in her shoes and then had a better understanding of what the kids' day was like. Also, as a dad, you can do things that you're passionate about. I mean, you can share the gospel by gardening with your kids. You can share so many fundamental core responsibility things. We do a lot of skeet shooting just as a family, and responsibility is through the roof with that. But you can make all those teaching moments. As a dad, I do a lot of history because I'm a dork and I love history, right? I've taught Dave Ramsey and segments of Dave Ramsey because personal finance is important to me. And then just as a dad, if all you can do, we're in the trenches too, right, dads? We're in the trenches of professionally providing, supporting wife, all of those things. But if all you can do as a dad is read with your kids, you are helping mom substantially. Anything to add to that?
No.
Oh, worth asking, right? Okay, so now brings the fifth point on the building block, and that is curriculum. Mm-hmm. So the question I have for you is, what's your comfort? I think a lot of that is the way we were educated in the past in our own childhood. But whether it's classical, structured, certainly Charlotte Mason is something you'll read a lot about. Technological, some lessons are done in our home through a website. Unit study, traditional DVD, and certainly special needs. But what is your comfort as a parent teacher is really the first question.
And so if you can figure out what, if something is miserable for you to teach, it's going to be hard to teach your child. So you need to figure out what works for you. There's a book at the library called 102 Top Picks of Curriculum for Homeschool Kids. Out of 102 choices, you should be able to find something. And maybe you start off with something, but then if your kids are really into something, maybe you do a unit study on it, you know? And take a break from the regular curriculum and do a unit study and make projects, and you can make something, a chapter book or whatever, turn into all types of curriculum across the board. And then what type of learner is your child? If you have younger kids, that's going to be hard to figure out right now. But as they get older, in that Educating the Wholehearted Child by Sally Clarkson, there is an evaluation you can do with your child to figure out if they're visual, if they're auditory, kinesthetic. If you can figure out what type of learner your child is, that's going to help you teach them. And also, with that, we don't have two traditional boys who are just sitting there for 8 hours a day and learning. Mm-hmm. Our youngest, Julian, I did phonics with him for 2 years. So I did the first year, he didn't get it. I did the second year, still didn't get it. I was like, what am I doing? Like, this kid needs to know how to read. And after spending 2 years doing it and he still didn't pick it up, I had him evaluated and they said he doesn't learn phonetically. Even at 11, he has to really work to tell you the sounds of letters and things. He's more of that whole word approach. So I felt the guilt of, like, I just wasted 2 years of his life doing phonics. Like, that was a waste of time. But through all that, the Lord showed me other things about Julian. And like Reuben will remind me, Julian loves the Lord. And he does. You know, so he doesn't know all the phonics. Okay, but he's reading now. So we also attend Shady Oaks Learning to help him with his brain workouts. Because at this point, I somewhat need some help. And so it's okay for us homeschool parents to say, this is kind of bigger than me, I need help. Mm. And also, as our boys have gotten older, we have done the 5 love languages. At the end of it, there's a little quiz that they can do. And one of our boys is a big snuggler, and physical touch is real important to him. And if I don't give him that during the day, I mean, he is bigger than me with his 12 and a half size shoe. But I've got to put my arms around him and love on him during the day just to meet his needs, you know? So I also recommend the 5 love languages of your kid to figure out what is your best way to love on them. Because if you just make withdrawals from your kids, and you don't have any deposits on them to love on them, when you make those withdrawals, they're not going to really listen to you. So those are the 2 things I would recommend on that.
Those are great things. And I guess one of the things Julie just mentioned was, after 2 years reevaluating whether it was working. Worked great for the first one. Second one, it wasn't working great, and everybody was frustrated. So I don't think 2 years were wasted per se. I think you found out and identified, because in my eyes, being a public school kid, I know kids that went their entire education being taught the wrong way. And for boys, it's difficult to sit 8 hours in a chair, right? It is difficult to sit, be still. I can't be still for the life of me. I'm 42, right? So why are we expecting at times our young men especially, but gals as well, to sit, be still, color within the lines, and listen all day? It's just not going to happen with a 13-year-old and 11-year-old boy, or the 42-year-old.
Yeah, so that's been interesting too, like homeschooling boys who are like, one's pre-puberty and one is going through puberty. I mean, he needs as much sleep, as much food, much direction as a toddler, you know? And so I've been through this. I've been so thankful that he is right here and I can lead him. There's been times that he's come to me and say, Mama, can you just pray over me? Or I'm like, Lynn, let's go for a run and try to exert some of that testosterone, you know? So I've been thankful that I've been able to lead him through the Lord during this season, which is tough. You know, growing up is tough. So.
Awesome. Okay, the sixth part of your building block, and if we count it correctly, this will be the last one, hopefully. That is establishing healthy boundaries. So here's some examples from Mustard Seed Academy, our little school. Schoolroom is the primary place that education happened. And what you guys are looking at is our youngest with his sippy cup and with his snuggly blanket, probably listening to some Jesus music and singing, by the way, doing his schoolwork. And this is okay in our schoolroom, right? I think what you'll find with Julie and I is we're not terribly legalistic. We love a home that has less rules, a few core rules, but we try to parent with grace. And with him, if that makes him happy and comfortable, and he's actually learning and engaged, more power to him.
It's yeah, because during me homeschooling my kids, I don't want them to look back and go, that was miserable with you. You know, you were always so caught up in what I was doing wrong, and I don't want this journey to ruin our relationship. Something as much as doing 20 problems compared to 15, I'm throwing that out the window. They are more important to me than having a disagreement over some schoolwork, you know?
Awesome. One of the other things we do is every year before the start of the school year, because typically school starts in August for Mustard Seed Academy. So every year before the start of school year, we sign an annual contract. We have a special dinner, and whatever that looks like, it's just outside of the norm. Maybe it's a place that's outside of the norm. And we sit them down and we talk through the expectations of the year. And we've done this for years, even when they were little guys, younger than they are now. But we outline some expectations. We also share what we're accountable to as well, right? And so it's a give and take. It's not us just telling them, you. It's us partnering with them. And we make them sign it. And we have these contracts. And all year long, those contracts are a piece of accountability or source of accountability for them, but also for us. And we've had a great deal of success with that. If you want to see our contract, we'll email it to you. Just give us your email. It's simple, but it's been really successful.
Yeah, and it's changed over the years. A couple years ago, I had, you know, it's the basic of there's no electronics, you can't do any of those things until after school and chores. But a couple years ago, I had to put in there, if you're going to cry over schoolwork, you just need to leave. You know? Because there was seen this habit of like getting upset and crying, and then I'm frustrated. Like if you're going to cry about schoolwork when really you shouldn't be, then you need to leave and then come back together. Now I don't have to write that in the contract because they know it's not acceptable and we're going to move on from that. So over the years, we've just had to train them up of what is acceptable and unacceptable and what they can expect from me. I'm going to try my best to teach you with patience and slow to anger and have a good time. There's things that you can count on me for being your teacher and your mom, you know? So I put that in there too of you have to hold me accountable and give me grace, you know, because I'm going to fail you at some point on some things too. So we sign that every year.
So another point is for us, what works is school is Monday through Friday and starts at 8:30. And I think I mentioned to you, our home doesn't believe in a ton of rules, just have rules. But this is a good, I guess, bookend to the day so that everybody knows what to expect. So kids can't come downstairs before 7. After 7, they can come downstairs. We have breakfast. We can unwind, hang, play with the dog, feed the dog, all that kind of stuff. Then at 8:30, it's go time. And we know people that educate their kids Sunday through Thursday. And it makes sense for their father's career and what they do, and so that they have family time. So there's so much flexibility to it. We love it. And kind of on the heels of that flexibility is, for our school, PJs and the dog are completely allowed. If that's a source of pleasure, you want to go to your bed and you want to do your reading in bed with the dog, that's awesome. I was educated in public school, like I mentioned, and I would have loved to do that. So if you have that, you have the freedom. We want you accountable to the end result, and that's what's important in our home.
And you figure out what works for y'all. Some families school year round. They'll do it for 2 months and take a week off. you have to figure out what works for you and your family. If you're not a morning person and you want to school in the afternoon and the early evening, then do it. That's the great part. There is no right or wrong. You have to do what works for you and for your family, you know? So if you want to start earlier and then take a month off during Christmas, then do that. You know, there is no box we all have to fit in. Do what works best for you and your family.
And that's, I would say that's really freeing for us, because as parents, you can get hung up in, well, everyone else is going to school. Everyone else's spring break is mid-March. Well, we can take spring break in April when there aren't any crowds and airfare is better or hotels are, right?
Yeah.
So that freedom we absolutely love. And what we thought we'd do is kind of carrying on from those healthy boundaries is really just share a few rules. LaToya, you had a question.
Look like for school, because some people school, come school for 4 hours, 5 hours, some do like two break, two late. What does that look like?
So for us, we start at 8:30, and I bounce back a little bit between the boys. Mine are close enough in age that we do the same history, same science, those kinds of things. So I start off in the morning, one will do math on the computer, we do teaching textbooks, and then I'll do like language arts with the other one, and then we'll rotate off. So those first couple hours, I'm back bouncing back and forth between them. And then around 10, 10:30, we have a break, snack, and then I'll sit there and do some read alouds with them. And then we'll finish up. So typically by 12-ish or so, we can be done with the main core of the stuff. Now, my older boy may have some homework that he needs to continue on with his writing or literature assignments. And then our youngest, he goes to brain workout in the afternoon. So by lunchtime, all of our core main stuff, me teaching and working them one-on-one, is done. Now, they had the follow-up kind of in the afternoon-ish to finish some of those things. Does that help, LaToya?
Well, I didn't know if you were like, we're going from 9 to 3.
No. Like nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Okay. I don't set those expectations, because some days, let's be honest, I'm not feeling it. You know? So, and then some days, like, we do Spanish one day a week. And then, you know, other days we have an etiquette curriculum we do. So those, some days will take a little bit longer, and some days will be a little shorter. Those days that we go to science, etc., I just plan on doing Bible, they do their math assignment, and we do science, and that's it. I don't try to cram everything else in there. You know, so I don't set an end time on it. And I definitely don't do that with them either, because you know, if I went past that time,
it would not be good.
It would not be good.
Yeah,
and also, I don't do the from 9 to 9:30, we're going to do math. Because sometimes it's going to take longer than that, and sometimes it's going to take shorter. And I did that early on, you know. I do have a spreadsheet for them, and Monday, these are the things you need to get done. Tuesday, these are the things. And I don't care what order you do them in, you know. But the things that I have to do with you, I will figure out the time to do that.
And, you know, I'm kind of in the cheap seats with homeschooling and getting to watch the show, right? But one of the things that's really cool to me is you see the boys grow and mature into something different through the process Julie just outlined. And, for example, our oldest that's 13, we saw a switch go off maybe a couple of years ago where all of a sudden he realized, wait a minute, there's not a time I can plow through this. Mm-hmm. And if it's a beautiful day and maybe it's MLK Day and his friends around the neighborhood are off, he could plow through that. And there have been times that we're having breakfast at 7:30 and he'll go, all right, guys, love you. I'm going upstairs. And he is showing the initiative to start that mm-hmm. process early so that he can finish early. And if all our children learn that initiative early, aren't those better adults? You know, I mean, that is so much of what we look for in good adults is that initiative to get things done and move forward in life. So there are some cool takeaways from really the little microculture Julie has created in Mustard Seed Academy.
Yeah, they have to figure out, because when they get to college, they're going to have to figure out how to balance their time. Are you going to wait till the paper's due 2 days before? Or are you going to nail it out early on and then have that freedom of I'm done? You know, moving on with it. Our younger boy, he does one assignment, he needs him a break. He does him another assignment, he needs another break. then he comes again, and I'm like, all right, this is what you have left to do. You figure it out. Because I'm not going to stay in the school until 3 o'clock because someone still has to do laundry and, you know, all the chores. I still have to run the house, you know, kind of deal. So.
So continuing on that last building block is of healthy boundaries is a few rules that we have instilled in our classroom, and we'll kind of talk through them. But what I love that Julie has done is these are the core foundational rules. I told you we don't love a lot of rules in our home. But for now, in the stage we're in with our little guys, these are the things that drive behaviors. And what I love is that they're all tied to scripture. So that at the end of the day, it's not Julie or Dad barking orders at the kids. If you want to argue with a rule, you go look it up in the Bible. And maybe you ought to memorize that Bible verse, right? Because this is where they come from. And Julie, do you want to walk through them?
Yeah, so early on, I put these in our schoolroom. They're on our contract as well. We review them. At this age of 13 and 11, I don't have to remind my kids of them, you know. There were times that my oldest boy, he didn't have a real teachable spirit. And so he had to write that Bible verse at times for his writing or his cursive practice. He has a super teachable spirit now, you know. So these rules are just some basic things of follow directions quickly. Like if mom asks you to do something, do it. I can't remind you 800 times during the day. That's going to frustrate you and me. And so that's Hebrews 13:17. And then make wise choices. Colossians 3:23. Was that a wise choice? That's something they need to know for the rest of their lives. Choose to please Jesus. When we start our school day, we pray that we will work for the Lord and nobody else. Don't do it for me. Don't do it for your brother. Do it for the Lord. He is equipping you for big things in life. Listen when others are speaking. Don't interrupt me. Be respectful to your brother. Those kinds of things. Because that's applicable. Thank you. Couldn't get that L in there. Couldn't get that. To real life. They can't come in here and start talking. They can't interrupt us. So those kinds of things are just character qualities I want them to have as well. And so we just go over those. Start that foundation early and go up. With that being said, when I was trying to train them up early on, I tried different things. I did a sticker chart like, hey, buddy, you did such a good job like being respectful. Here's a sticker. And after whatever stickers, 10, 20, I would get little dollar store treats or put little pieces of candy. There was a time I just did tickets the next year. Hey, look at you. You turned in your assignment on time, or you were making a wise choice by doing that instead of playing around. I would give them tickets, and they could redeem those tickets for the same kind of concept. Now I don't do that. We do other things, you know, but I was just trying to train them up to really have that foundation with them.
That's awesome. So, again, we like to kind of ground ourselves to these core building blocks, and they're in order, this order for a reason, and that's pray, seek the Lord's direction, identify your purpose. What's your unique purpose for homeschooling your children, for doing this, taking this responsibility? Because it is a full-time job, right? Obviously, we want to play within our state guidelines. Build community for you as an educator, you as a dad, but certainly for your children. They need a community around them, and we're called to be in fellowship with others, right? Take time to find the right curriculum, and you can a la carte it. You can do lots of different things, and you can switch midway through. And establishing healthy boundaries are probably the fundamentals that have led us to the place we're at now. And, you know, what Julie and I wanted to do is share this picture, because it's a funny picture of our little guy who is showing you he reached the end of his curriculum. So that is the very end of whatever curriculum that was. Maybe it was math. Uh-huh. And he asked, Mommy, can you take a picture of me? Mm-hmm. I finished it, right? So to me, that little picture just shows the joy that you can get. Rather than him going to a teacher that's paid a salary, who can do a great job, he's going to his mommy and is proud of an accomplishment. ultimately, that's what drives us. And it's such a cool moment because Julie gets that much time with our children. I get the opportunity to do homework and to see them and to peep in on them. We've got a few minutes, and we are certainly open to any questions. Why don't I close this in prayer, and we'll kind of finish that, and then we'll take a few questions, okay? Lord, I just thank you for these parents. Thank you for their willingness and openness to follow your plan, God, for you to be the leader for them and their families. Lord, I thank you for Julie. I thank you for the spirit of learning and taking the reins and the responsibility to nurture your children because they are your children, Jesus. Lord, we love you and we ask that you remove the burdens of hard work and time and tears and all those things, but rather you allow us to relish in the joy of being with your children every single day. Lord, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.